Have you ever been at a place where spiritually you weren't necessarily where you should have been, and then you got through that, got out of that, got revived maybe, and you're just at a better place, a better walk with the Lord? That's where they're at here. Things have changed. But I want us to look at this evening. How can things stay right? How can they stay right? Do you ever get dry in your Christian life? Do you go through peaks and valleys? Do you go through ups and downs? The reality is, probably most of us do. But how do you stay right? How do we keep from going back to Nehemiah chapter number 1 in our lives? That's what I want. I don't want to go back and experience the suffering and the pain and the time away from the Lord. I want to stay right where they are in Nehemiah chapter number 12. How does that happen? It doesn't happen on accident. There's a process. In Nehemiah chapter number 13, Nehemiah's the burden, the work that he came to is, as far as it's written in Scripture, it's coming to an end. We've seen Nehemiah's leadership develop. We've seen God's vision fulfilled for the people. We've seen the city restored, and we've seen the people rejoice. And my question this evening to us as we study Nehemiah chapter 13, how can we stay right? What can we do? How can someone stay right and not fall back again? Is there a pattern in the Bible that we can see? I believe we can see that this evening. And I'm going to look at a few verses here in chapter 13 that I hope that'll be a help to us. Look with me in verse number 1. On that day, they read in the book of Moses, in the audience of the people, and therein was found written that the Ammonites and the Moabites should not come into the congregation of God forever. Because they met not the children of Israel with bread and water, but hired Balaam, and against them, that they should curse them, howbeit our God turned the curse into a blessing. If you remember, all the way back when the children of Israel were coming out of Egypt, they were coming, obviously, against these other armies. They were coming against these other people. And these are two groups. The Ammonites and the Moabites were two groups that when Israel came against them, they didn't bless them. They didn't help them with water. They didn't help them with food. But instead, what they did is they hired Balaam. Remember Balaam and the donkey? Huh? Balaam, the donkey. Donkey was talking. Donkey's talking and really not making, Balaam's not making much sense. And I'm not describing the convention last evening. I'm talking about Balaam in the Bible. But he's talking, not making much sense, and Balaam's talking. Here Balaam is having a conversation with a donkey. Think about that. They hired Balaam to curse, but the Bible says, the story tells us that instead of a cursing, God blessed Israel instead of cursing Israel. And so we find here that they're reminded that there was a people group, that the Moabites and the Ammonites, that they were there with them. And so here's two groups of people, the Ammonites and the Moabites, that were there with Israel, and they were there acting like they were friends. They were there in Israel with no problems. The Israelites and the Moabites and the Ammonites were living in harmony, I guess you could say. And God reminded them as they were reading his word. He said, you remember what they did? You're not supposed to have strangers there with you. And he reminded them why. You know what? In verse number 1, the Bible says this. I want you to see with me again. The Bible says, on the day that they read in the book of Moses in the audience of the people, and therein was found written, and it goes in and tells the story. You know what I found first of all here? They still continued in the Word of God. Now, this is very different than from the beginning of Nehemiah. Remember the beginning, the first half or so of Nehemiah, we're talking about trials, we're talking about burdens, we're talking about problems, we're talking about defeats, we're talking about the enemy, we're talking about divisions from within. Everything was going against Israel, and Israel was not doing right. They weren't worshiping the Lord. They weren't serving the Lord with all their heart like they were supposed to. And all of a sudden, though, we find in the last portions of Nehemiah, what we find is this, that the people now are worshiping the Lord. They're opening his word every single day in reading from it. Now, I know this sounds so elementary, but it is a key in order for us to stay right with God. The first thing is this: we must keep in His Word continually. That's where the average Christian goes wrong. That's where the average Christian goes astray. They don't stay in His Word. And I know you say, I read that and I see that and I know that. And we as Christians, we know we're supposed to stay in God's Word. But the things we know we're supposed to do, those are the things we don't do. And the key to Israel's success right now, the key to their revival, the key to the fact that they are continuing in doing what they're supposed to do, not falling back into sin, is this: they are in the Word of God. It is important for us, Christian, if you get nothing else, if you get no other points this evening, you have to understand, you have to get this. If you are a child of God, you need to be in God's Word. You cannot live the victorious Christian life that He designed for you outside of His Word. It's impossible. It's impossible. Someone said this: what do you want the church to be known for? Someone just yell, what should the church be known for? Just yell it out. Faithfulness? What? Somebody over here say something? Holiness? Faithfulness? What else? Love? Love? What else? Soul winning? What else? House of prayer? What else? Bible believing? Great. What else? Evangelism? These are all things the church ought to be known for. And I think these are all wonderful things, and our church ought to have that as a testimony. But you know what? I believe this. We ought to be known as the people of the book. Our church ought to be a church that it says, people say, they preach the Word of God, they live the Word of God, they believe the Word of God, they act upon the Word of God, they read the Word of God, they love the Word of God. The Word of God is important to that place. And it's only important to the church if it's important to the people of the church. It's important for us to be people of the book. Israel, they declined when the people forgot the Word of God. Can you understand and believe that in Jerusalem the Word of God was put away and no one knew where it was? Could you imagine coming to church and us trying to find a Bible? And knowing no one know where the last person put it? I would say, why would we come to church if we don't even have a Bible? If that isn't our priority. But there was a time in Israel that they declined. They declined when they had no need, when they forgot the Word of God, when the Word of God was not read, when the Word of God was not practiced. But we find them now. How do we stay straight? How do we keep it from going back to Nehemiah chapter 1? We've got to remember that we've got to put the Word of God first in everything that we do. Just like Israel, America will decline when God's people forget the Word of God. You know, if we're not careful, we can get so wrapped up into things that are happening politically around our country, you know, over these next couple months. But the reality is this: we shouldn't be looking to lost people to give us direction. We shouldn't be looking to unsaved people to give us advice. We shouldn't be looking to the world to give us leadership. We, as Bible-believing Christians, ought to be looking to the Word of God to give us direction. We ought to be looking to the Word of God to give us leadership. We ought to be looking to the Word of God to give us inspiration. We ought to be looking to the Word of God to revive our country. That's where we ought to look. Nothing else, nothing different, but the Word of God is the place where the people of God ought to continually look. You know, we shouldn't expect the lost to make the Word of God important in their lives. It's important for us to make the Word of God important in our lives. We shouldn't expect the lost to desire the Word of God. We as Christians ought to desire the Word of God. We shouldn't expect the lost, the people that don't know God, to make the Word of God important. We as God's people must make the Word of God important in our lives. And we find here that in order for us to stay right, in order for us to not backslide, in order for us to not go back to the beginning here in Nehemiah, we find the very first verse says this: they opened the Word of God. The Word of God was priority in their life. They read it. You know, I find here they studied it. They obeyed it. They meditate upon it. They didn't forsake it. And so we find the first thing, a very simple thing here. We find it right here in Nehemiah chapter number 1. We find they kept the word of God a priority. Secondly, I want you to see this evening is this. Verse number 1 tells us they got into the word of God. Verse number 3 tells us this. Now it came to pass when they had heard the law that they separated from Israel all the mixed multitude. Now stay with me on this one. Think about this. They were living in the mixed multitude and everything they thought was fine. But then when they got into the word of God, they realized this, how they were living was wrong. And you know what they did when they found the word of God was convicting them and showing them that what they're doing is wrong? You know what the Bible says they did? They changed according to the word of God. Now I know you say, boy, these things are just so simple. If they're so simple, I would say to us, then why aren't we doing these things? Yes, they're in the word of God. And secondly, I want you to see this. In order to stay right, in order to stay straight, in order to keep right with the Lord, we need to allow the word of God to change us when it speaks to us. When's the last time the Holy Spirit of God convicted you of something and you changed? When's the last time the Word of God was preached or you read it in your devotional life and you allowed the Word of God to just permeate you and penetrate your life? And when's the last time the Holy Spirit, through His Word, said, that is wrong, that is sin, you've got to stop that? You know, a lot of times if we're not careful, we can make excuses. We clean everything else up except, you know, one or two things, and we think it's okay because for the most part, we're good. For the most part, we're clean. For the most part, there's nothing wrong. For the most part, I mean, it's just a few areas that aren't hurting anymore. Else. Listen to me, we need to get to the place where every area of our life, the Holy Spirit of God, through the Word of God, can work. And when we're convicted, we say, change, change me, oh God. If there's something in my life that you don't want there, then convict me, show me, and I'm going to change. If there's sin in my life, convict me and show me, and I'm going to change. In order for us to stay right, we have got to let the Word of God change us when God desires to change us. You know what you don't find them saying here in verse number 3 and 4? You don't find them saying, yeah, but they've been here a long time and everything should be okay. Have you ever argued with the Word of God? Have you ever tried to convince yourself that you're okay? You see here, they didn't argue when the Word of God was speaking to them. They weren't arguing when there was showed to them that there was something that needed to be changed in their life. They immediately changed. They allowed God's Word to change them. How much like God's Word are you? Ask yourself that question. How much like God's Word am I? If I were to read through the pages of God's Word and look at the principles of Christian living and look at the way that God desires for His people to live, how much like God's Word am I? Do you ever look at a picture and say, boy, that doesn't look like me? Do you ever do that? Someone take a picture of you? I mean, they just took it with their phone and you're like, oh, that doesn't look like me. No, it really does. That's what you look like right now. It's what you look like. You might not like what you look like, but that's who you look like. My mom's here this evening. She was with my grandfather, and he gave her a whole stack of pictures, so we were going through a whole bunch of pictures. And that was a bad thing to do before church, I'll tell you. Bunch of pictures. Go back. You remember your pictures when you were getting your front teeth in? I mean, she had a whole slideshow of it. Look, here it goes, you know, and it's growing. There's one. Thank you, Mom. Thank you. Appreciate that. So we might not like what we look like, but when we see the Word of God, it ought to look like us. Does it? Husbands, does the Word of God look like you? Wives, does the Word of God look like you? friendships to the Word of God? Are you modeling what the Word of God says, or are you resisting what the Word of God says in your life? Hear the Word of God change them. Once again, the Bible was read and something was seen that needed to be changed. You know what I find? The people didn't get upset. You know what they didn't say? Again? How much do you want me to change? Don't you know what we've been doing for the last couple chapters, Nehemiah? Again, Lord, there's something more. Listen, every single time the Word of God is open, we ought to say, again, Lord, do it again, Lord. Show me what needs to change. Show me what you desire out of my life. Show me what you want me to be. Don't let me stay the same. Allow me to change so I'm more like Christ. That ought to be our prayer. You know, many love church till you preach on their sin. You know, church is really, really good when you're preaching on the person next to you sin, isn't it? I mean, husbands, when the preacher's getting on your wife and what she needs, isn't that, I mean, that was a great day in church. But it's not so good, husbands, when the preacher's preaching on what the husband needs and the wife's doing this the whole time. You're going home with a wounded heart and a wounded side all at the same time. Listen, it's good. Preaching is good, but don't preach on my sin. A lot of people get upset when you open the Word of God and you start preaching on their sin. Instead of getting upset, what we ought to do is say, all right, Lord, I understand that's me, and I'll change according to your Word. Many love preaching as long as it's a motivational speech. Come in here and tell me what good I'm doing. Tell me all the positive things so I can go out and live a good, positive life. Well, sometimes the Word of God doesn't tell us positive things about what we're doing. Sometimes the Word of God points, the Holy Spirit points his finger at us and says, that's not good living, that's not right living, that is sin, and it's got to stop. Sometimes we like preaching until conviction comes. And then we say, wait a minute. We like preaching as long as it doesn't get into meddling. Do you ever hear that? All right, that was good preaching. Now you're starting to meddle a little bit. Listen to me, the Word of God should meddle in your life. The Word of God should get into your life in every corner, in every crevice of your heart. It ought to convict you in areas that you think no one else knows about. It ought to shine a light in dark areas of our life. It ought to show us the right way to live. If there's anything in our life that doesn't belong there, the Word of God, that's what it's for, to show us the areas. It's supposed to meddle in the areas that we don't want to be meddled in. That's the only way we as Christians can change. It's when the Word of God speaks to us and shows us areas. What kind of church should I be a part of? I would say this, the kind of church we ought to be a part of is one that preaches the Word of God, and one that preaches the Word of God, and where the Holy Spirit can work through the preaching of the Word of God and challenge us and convict us and strengthen us and encourage us. But we want the Word of God to do something to us, and we shouldn't just come to the house of God and nothing ever happen. So we need to allow the Word of God to change us. I see that here. It'll cause us to live holy lives. It'll cause us to live sanctified lives. We're getting to place now in Romans chapter number 6. We're preaching about salvation, saw the Adam in Christ, and now we're getting to the place where now we're talking about sin. In Romans chapter 6, we're preaching on Sunday mornings. You know what that's about? That's a Christian who's living in sin. And we find Paul is teaching us through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit how to live sanctified lives. We as Christians, yes, we're redeemed. We are justified the moment that we trust Christ as our Savior. But we ought to continue to strive to live a sanctified life. That's a process as a Christian that we ought to continuing to be sanctified, continue to be growing, continuing to be Christ-like every single day of our life. And it comes through God's Word. Christian, tonight, I just ask you this question. When's the last time the Word of God revealed something to you and you allowed it to change your life? You know, I want revival, don't you? But the truth is, there's some things sometimes in my life I don't want to change. And to be honest, I wish God would just accept those things so I wouldn't have to change. But he's never going to accept something outside of his word. He's going to convict us. And we need to allow his word to speak to us. Verse number 9, I want you to see, if we were to read through verse 4 down through verse number 9, we come to a place. In verse number 9, that I commanded, and they cleansed the chambers, and thither brought I again the vessels of the house of God with the meat offering and the frankincense. You know, they come to the house of God. You know what they realized? It wasn't clean. You know what I saw here thirdly? We need to keep the house of God for God. It's a place where we come to worship Him. It's a place where we come to worship. It's a place that ought to be clean. It's a place that ought to represent the Lord right. It's a place that we ought to come in where He is lifted up. It's a place we ought to come to worship. It's a place we ought to come to learn. It's a place that we ought to come to grow. It's a place where we learn about God. And the reality is this, nothing else should matter. It's a place where they came to, verse number 9, they came and they said, the house of God is not what it needs to be. Is there a place, I believe, in all the world there ought to be a place that's different like any other place, and that place ought to be the house of God. I mean, it ought to be a place where all those things that were named earlier, it ought to be a place of prayer. It ought to be a place of praise. It ought to be a place where people come and worship. It ought to be a place of holiness. It ought to be a place where the Word of God is preached. It ought to be a place where the Holy Spirit is alive and is working. It ought to be a different place. It ought to be a place where, like no other place, the house of God. But you know, the house of God here just became like any other place. And when they came to verse number 9, you know what they realized? It's got to change. We've got to take care of the house of God. It's a special place. It's a place where God's people come together and worship a great God. Keep the house of God a place for God in verse number 9. And then I want you to see something here that I thought was very interesting. In verse number 10, and I perceived that the portions of the Levites had not been given them. For the Levites and the singers that did the work were fled from everyone to his field. And in verse number 11, then contended I with the rulers and said, why is the house of God forsaken? And I gathered them together and set them in their place. Then brought all Judah the tithe of the corn and the new wine and the oil under the treasuries. You know what I find here as well? In order to stay right, the Bible tells us here in the model here in chapter 13 is we need to stay in the Word of God. We need to make sure we allow the Word of God to change us. The house of God needs to be a place different than any other place. And then fourthly, you know what I see here? Keep giving to God what belongs to God. The people stopped giving to God what belonged to Him. You know what God said? Will a man rob God? They're robbing God. Do you ever see videos of people, maybe before they go into a store, before they steal or before they do something wrong, they look around for the camera? I see videos. I like to watch those videos of people doing stupid things and getting caught. The guy looks up into the camera, now you see his full face. What do they go into the place, so before they do wrong, they want to look for somebody watching. The reality is this, Christian, God sees everything you do. You know what God saw? The people weren't giving to Him what was His. You know what I see here? It wasn't a request. It was a command. God told his people, there's something that I want. You are to give me this tithe. You are to give me a tithe of the corn. You are to give me a tithe of the wine. God said there was a tithe that was owed to him, and the people rejected giving God what belonged to him. And when God says he wants something, it's his. And not giving what God said is rightfully his, it's stealing from God. It's robbing God. You know what I find? In order for the people to stay right, they had to see that what belonged to God was never theirs to begin with. It was never theirs to start. And that's why God can say, will a man rob God? You say, it was mine, and I had it, and I needed it for something else. That's like saying, this doesn't belong to me, and I need it for something, and I'm going to take what belongs to someone else and pay what I need. And the people realize this, that there are some things that I need to do. I need to stay in the Word of God. I need to allow the Word of God to convict me. I need to allow the Word of God to show me the areas that need to be changed. I need to have a better respect. I need to have a better respect for the house of God. And I need to understand that what God has blessed me with, it's a command to give back to Him what already belongs to Him. Keep giving to God what belongs to God. You can't live the victorious Christian life if you're holding on to something that doesn't belong to you to begin with. It's God's. It's God's. I read these quotes. I thought these were interesting. Oswald Chambers wrote this, "We are as close to God today as we choose to be." Have you ever heard that quote? We're as close to God today as we choose to be. How important is the Word of God? You say, I want to be close to God. Then how important is the Word of God, and how much do you choose to make it a priority in your life? You're as close to God today as you choose to be. If that saying is right, then when the Holy Spirit of God is convicting you, when the Holy Spirit of God is showing you that your opinion isn't always right, that what you have to think and what you have to say is not always right, if the Holy Spirit of God is showing you that sin that you think is okay, it's sin and it's wrong, when that Holy Spirit of God is showing you that you're not being the spouse that you need to be, you're not loving like you should, you're not caring like you should, you're not the husband or the father or the wife or the mother that you're supposed to be, when the Holy Spirit of God shows you that you're not the child of God that you're supposed to be, when the Holy Spirit of God is convicting you of that sin that you think no one knows about, you are as close to God as you choose to be. If the Holy Spirit of God is convicting you and you choose to resist Him, it's your fault you're not close to God, not His. In an area of giving, when you have something that belongs to God, you can't expect God to bless. A little quote, more of thee and less of me. Wouldn't it be something if we all walked around and said, more of thee and less of me, Lord. More of thee and less of me. And I know you've heard this before. The Bible will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from the book. The Bible will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from the Bible. You see, chapter 13, it lays out for us in the first 12 verses how we can keep it right, how we can stay right. We don't have to go back into bondage. We don't have to go back into sin. We don't have to go back into misery. We don't have to go back into not having a relationship with God like He desires. There's a path. There's a plan. We've got to make the Word of God important enough to us where we see it's what we need. Sometimes I wish I desired the Word of God more than I desired things my flesh likes. My wife goes shopping normally every week on the same day, and you know what that means? There's ice cream in the freezer that night. And I know it. And I don't know why she keeps putting it there, because she knows I don't need it, but she does. And I don't even have to think about it. It just happens. It's midnight. Everyone's asleep. I've got a bowl and a spoon, and I'm standing in front of the freezer. I don't understand it. It just happens. It's natural. I was just kidding. I don't do that. She's going to set the timer now. She's going to set her alarm. She's going to catch me. You know, the Word of God ought to be that important to us. It takes priority over everything else. Holy Spirit of God, is He speaking to you? The house of God, is it an important place in your life? Is there anything that belongs to God? Is there any talent you have that you're not giving to Him? Is there any gift that you have that you're not giving to Him? Is there any financial resources that you have that God says it's mine that you're not giving to Him? If you're holding back, you're not going to stay right. In order for us to stay right, we've got to keep these things in our heart and our life.